In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. So I said a few weeks ago when I was preaching about the Sunday of the Paralytic that the connection between the Sunday of the Paralytic, last week of the Samaritan woman, and this week, of course, of the man who was born blind was water. And you heard, of course, last week about the woman by the well, the Samaritan woman, and the living water, and the week before, the pool, the pool of the sheep's gate, where being placed into the waters that were stirred, that the man who was paralyzed or anyone who was physically ill or sick or infirmed would be healed. And then, of course, today we hear about the man who received his, not only his sight, but commentators and the fathers of the church will tell us that he was born without eyes. So literally he received his eyes, more than just his sight, but his actual eyes so he could see. And it was by the spittle of our Lord that clay was formed and put on his face where his eyes were, and then his eyes, then he was able to see. But there's also another theme, and that is of sight, and that is of not just physical sight, but more importantly, and the message for us, as we know from this gospel passage, these gospel passages, and that is spiritual sight, being able to come to the ability to a place where we can see more clearly spiritually. Certainly, the man who was paralyzed was there for 38 years when presumably he sat there, he laid there rather, and no one saw him, even though they walked by him. And it wasn't until our Lord saw him that he interacted with him, that he took the action of healing. And then, of course, last week, the Samaritan woman, who was brought into a deeper understanding of seeing herself as she truly was, thinking that others, or this man that she encountered by the well, didn't really know about her. So she first had to come to an understanding of seeing who she truly was. And then, of course, today, the obvious one, where he regained his physical sight. But as we hear in this lengthy gospel passage, there's a gradual and deeper understanding of the man called Jesus, as we hear in the gospel, from who he originally thought as a prophet to God. And he expressed it in saying, "I believe," and then he worshiped him. So it's both water and sight. And we also know one of the beautiful aspects of us as Orthodox Christians is we use all of our senses in our daily Christian life. Sight, of course, for the beauty in our sanctuary, and sight in the beauty of the iconography, smell, touch, taste, hearing, all these senses. At all times, we use these all for the purpose of bringing us into a closer relationship with the man called Jesus. That's what these are about, these gospels. That's what we're about. I say this all the time. We're not here just because it's a couple of hours on a Sunday that we want to be somewhere different from wherever we are. We're here just as this man, even wherever we are in our relationship, even wherever we are on our journey. Whether we see him or understand him as a prophet or as a good person but not as God, all the way to where this man who was formerly blind saw him clearly as God, as the one who healed him physically, but also brought him spiritually and healed him, returning him and restoring him to his original beauty. And that is as a creature, as the creation of Christ, of God. The Kondakion that we chanted earlier in the Orthros says, I come to you, O Christ, blind from birth in my spiritual eyes, and call to you in repentance. You are the most radiant light of those in darkness. There's a dialogue that this man had with the religious authorities of the day, that it was because of his sin or his parents' sin that he was born blind. And of course, Jesus dispels that by saying, it's so you can understand and see the glory of God. I am here to heal you, not simply physically, but to heal you spiritually so that you are restored to your original likeness, created in his likeness, created in his image. And so this man then would teach those who should have known all these things, because they had the knowledge of the prophets and the law, all these things that should have taught them if they really saw it clearly with the eyes of their heart, should have recognized that this was God, but yet they didn't. So how are we to view this? How are we to understand this? How are we to apply this in our lives? Certainly miracles have, will continue to happen, physical miracles of healing. But it's this healing spiritually that all of us are in need of. Most of us may not be in need of some physical healing, although at one point in our lives, I'm sure that we will. But it's this spiritual healing that each and every one of us needs. Because it's through, I come to you, O Christ, blind from birth in my spiritual eyes, and call to you in repentance. You are the most radiant light of those in darkness. Because it is indeed through sin that our sight, that our relationship has become clouded. That's not just one time, or two times, or three times. It's throughout our life. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. This clouds our vision. This clouds, and even at times, maybe even completely eliminates our sight of our Lord, of God, of the Creator. And so we need to, number one, and most importantly, recognize that we need, just as the man paralyzed, the Samaritan woman, the man born blind from birth, and all those, we too need to seek out an encounter, a meeting, a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is how they were healed. Because they had this encounter with Jesus. Not just that one time, but we know from these gospel passages from Scripture, just as we heard in this last verse, what did he do when he said, I believe in him? He worshiped him. He didn't just stop worshiping him. He worshiped him the rest of his life. Worship of the Creator, of the healer, the physician of our souls and bodies. This is the clarity that we see. This is improving our sight. This is developing a relationship just as this man did. St. Paul tells us, St. Peter says, in his first epistle. He says in chapter 3, "He," that is Jesus, "also went to preach to the spirits in prison who had once been disobedient while God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, 8 in all, were saved through water. This prefigures baptism, which saves you now." I said this a few weeks ago. We had a few more baptisms yesterday. We have one this afternoon. Quite a few baptisms at this time. And the prayers that we read speak just to this. It's through the waters of baptism that illumination comes. We are cleansed. We are made new creatures in Christ. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through chrism. And then we receive his body and blood through the Holy Eucharist, through communion. All these mysteries help us, lead us, guide us, and direct us into an encounter with Jesus Christ. And it's through all these that we become closer and see him more clearly. So it is through the waters of baptism. It is through the tears of repentance. It is through the encounter with Jesus Christ. It is through washing and cleansing. All of these truths that are presented to us in the Gospels lead us into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it is this great gift of God. It is this great gift of God that he offered this man formerly blind. He offered the Samaritan woman. He offered the man paralyzed in his encounters and his appearances to Thomas and the disciples, to Mary, as we heard in the Orthodox Gospel this morning. Each and every one of these encounters reflects and teaches and guides and directs us that it is in Jesus Christ, truly, that we see him more clearly, that we become closer in our relationship with God, that we participate in and we receive the gift of eternal life. Amen.